How's it going? Welcome in. Davis and Beetle podcast. What, this is number three, right? Well, actually four, because the one that I thought recorded that didn't record, and we did like 25 minutes, and then I had to say, hey, by the way, it didn't record. So it's like number four, technically, I think.
That was like spring training.
It was. It was very much like spring training. It was like a controlled practice scrimmage. Yes, very much so. All right. We got a lot to get to today. There's a lot going on. College football, Broncos, Chiefs, your Dodgers are one win away from the top of the mountain. We'll save the best for last, though, with the Dodgers and the Rays. Okay. Game six coming up tomorrow. Let's start out. Let's talk some Broncos. Broncos, Chiefs yesterday. About the defense, at times played really well. They got after Patrick Mahomes. He had a very average day, about 200 yards passing. Yep. But he didn't need to be brilliant yesterday because, let's see, Drew Lock throws a pick six to Daniel Sorensen. The Byron Pringle, the former Kansas State Wildcat, returns at 102 yards for a touchdown for the Chiefs. The ill-fated flea flicker with Melvin Gordon and Drew Lock. KJ Hamler coughs it up. It's maddening to watch this team because Kansas City, they went 0-for-8 on third down yesterday.
Yeah.
And still blew the doors off the Broncos.
And Mahomes he picked up most of those yards in the fourth quarter. Like he had a very, very pedestrian average day, maybe below average up until it was in the books.
Right.
They couldn't do anything else. Right. But I mean, give the defense credit. They've been good multiple times this season, and the defense has dealt with just as many problems and injuries and things like that as the offense has, if you ask me, maybe more so on some levels without Von Miller and, you know, an ailing secondary and guys like Chubb still getting healthy and things like that. And what is it? I mean, what are we on about the 10th defensive tackle that they've gone?
Well, they got Draymond Jones and DeMarcus Walker back yesterday, which was good.
Yeah. Yes. It was nice to see. But, you know, everybody's been talking about the offense and how they have all these weapons and all these tools. And I think that's true. They continue to show flashes of that stuff. But, you know, the defense has dealt with as many injuries and as many issues, but they've performed. And for the most part, that one's not on the defense, not for the most part. That one just isn't on the defense yesterday. That was all special teams and offensive buffoonery for most of the game, because it was hard to watch. The play calling was suspect, you know, and Philip Lindsay's cracking off 10 yards a carry, and then you're calling, you know, deep balls down the field. You're controlling the game, basically, and you put it in the hands of your young quarterback, which that's fine. You want to see that at some point, and you got to get creative every now and then. But if you're going to beat the Chiefs, everybody knows you got to hang on to the ball. And when you're running 10 yards a crack with a guy like Philip Lindsay, why are you going away from that very often?
And then he got hurt. And yeah, so that hurt them when Lindsay went out at 79 yards, and he was looking really good. Mark Kisler wrote a piece in the Post today about Drew Lock. And about there has to be a point, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, there has to be a point where Locke stops talking about, yeah, it's on me, I have to be better, where he has to stop talking about that and actually doing it. And to a degree, and I seldom, you know how I feel about Kisla, I seldom agree with him. I kind of agree to the point where it's some of the mistakes that Drew Locke makes are things that he shouldn't be making mistakes at this point in his career. I get it. This is, you know, a different offensive coordinator and Pat Shurmur from Rich Gangarello. I get it's, you know, different, you know, a different system for him. He got hurt, you know, start out last year, which didn't help. Then he went 4-1 at the end of the season. But there comes a point where if you're going to be the man, you've got to be the man. And when people look around at what Justin Herbert's doing right now, what Joe Burrow's doing in their rookie seasons, you kind of go, what's the deal with Drew Lock? He's got more experience than these guys. He's got certainly weapons that are probably better than Cincinnati has. Definitely on par, maybe not even better with the Chargers have, with Austin Eckler out in particular. There comes a point where, and it's not all on him. He wasn't the reason they lost yesterday. But at some point, if he's going to be the man, he's got to step up and he's got to start being a more consistent player at that position.
Yeah, and I think – it's hard to judge quarterbacks so quickly anymore, right? Because
we do that though.
And that's what I'm saying. Like that's the game now is you have to prove that you can do it within basically 8 to 10 games. Otherwise we're, everybody's ready to move on. Right. So when you see guys like, Justin Herbert and you mentioned Joe Burrow, you're assuming that they're already, oh, they're proving it. They're done. Well, they're only 3 or 4 games into their world. So, I think, you know, it's a solid point to say those things. But Joe Burrow's not winning any more games for Cincinnati than anybody else has. He is looking good. He does show flashes of being a great quarterback. Herbert was the same deal. He hasn't, you know, gone off the charts by winning games all of a sudden, although they put one together yesterday against Jacksonville of all teams. Wow, imagine that. But you see what I'm saying. Those guys are putting up numbers but not wins. But people are excited about them, right? They're showing that. And you look at some other situations where guys are putting up, you know, wins and nobody's really saying a whole lot about them, you know? And so there's Drew Lock in the middle of this, and he's not really putting up wins. Don't get me wrong, but he's in the middle of that whole world of, man, he shows these really good flashes of ability. But man, his team can't win. So then people get frustrated. And you want to move on, but if you move on, you feel like you're starting over again, right?
Right.
So here he's stuck in the middle of this. And if you sat back and asked yourself the what's the biggest thing we can do to help this Broncos team? Wouldn't it be just give him some time? Like give him time to work itself out. This team has tools. We can see that they have some players. This guy shows flashes. Let's give him the confidence to believe that it's okay. We're going to give you some time to get this done rather than here we are week 7 or whatever it is. And well, he's got to stop talking about being better. Why? He needs to be better.
But the point is though, I think he needs to start showing that on the field, the product that what he's putting out right now, the proof is in what he does in the field. And look, I'm not ready to give up on Drew Lock. If you're a Broncos fan, you want this to work out. You don't want to go down this path again. But now that Herbert's coming up in the Chargers this Sunday, you're going to see the natural comparison between look what Herbert's doing and look what Drew Lock's doing. And that's going to be like a comparison that's naturally going to take place leading up to that game Sunday.
Yeah, and I think you got to look at it, too, from the respect of go back in time and compare what Justin Herbert was at Oregon versus what Drew Lock was at Missouri. Both really good quarterbacks, both talented enough with the arm and things like that. But Justin Herbert was billed as the number one overall pick before Joe Burrow kind of stepped in and took that spotlight, right? And he was for a couple of years. They were waiting for him to come out the year before so people could take him really high in the first round. Drew Lock was never that. He was always a guy that everybody thought was good, given the right circumstances, all those good things, but he was not a top 5, top 10 pick. So should you be comparing them or not? I don't know. I mean, it's fair enough question, right? When you think of where they actually were being evaluated coming into their careers. So do you give Drew Lock the time to become that guy or do you not? That's the question, right?
Right. And I think that at this point in time, yes, you should. You need to give him the time to develop, but let's also be, you know, there still needs to be a critical eye here a little bit too of it's got to get better and he has to get better. And at least he acknowledges that, which I appreciate because he could just go, oh, yeah, I'm doing the best I can here. No, he admits that it has to get better. Let's hope that the work that he puts in will make him better going forward. College football, back with the Big Ten, Mountain West Conference. Rams didn't play because New Mexico had a COVID outbreak, so their game got canceled. But your beloved Wyoming Cowboys got on the football field. And Sean Chambers, this is such a sad, sad story about him.
Yeah. You can't even explain how awful a circumstance it was. Like, Sean Chambers was, you know, has been their starting quarterback for the last couple of years, and he was hurt with a broken fibula in his first year. Then last year was hurt with a MCL injury, nothing major with the MCL or anything like that, but it took him out of the season, and he's worked hard to get back. And he's clearly this team's emotional leader. Like, it's not even an argument that by anybody, by any stretch of the imagination, this is the guy that is just their leader. He's their dude. He's not even a unbelievable quarterback by any means. He's a super tough, strong running quarterback, and he's just a gamer.
Wait a minute, is he Tim Tebow? Yeah, is he Tim Tebow?
Yes. No, he's very much like that. Like,
he's a Wyoming Tim Tebow.
He's that kind of personality, right? He's just like one of those people you can't help but like, because sure, he's just so positive. He's like an extra coach on the field, all those good things, and he's got that gamer mentality, right? So people love that because he seems to come up with plays and things like that when they matter most. And so everybody was excited because he was coming back again and he'd be healthy and all this stuff. And on the third play from scrimmage, he breaks his leg again. Oh. His first carry of the year. So 3 years in a row, their unquestioned emotional leader and quarterback has hurt himself. And I laugh because it's just unbelievable. I've never seen a sadder scene on the football field and on the broadcast. The kid was bawling his eyes out.
Understandably so.
He knew he broke it right away. Like, it wasn't one of those, I'm going to try and get up and walk this off. No, he knew right away. He was just pounding the turf and started crying. And the entire broadcast crew, both teams were just like standing there going, "You got to be kidding me. There's no way that just happened." And so it continued on through the whole first half. They were showing him on the sidelines. Oh. And even the broadcast crew was like, you got to the point where you're like, "I can't watch this. Please stop showing this.
Stop doing that."
Because it was just awful. And so, you know, things transpired from there. Not very well for Wyoming, but they did come back and push Nevada to overtime before they lost. So give them some credit for fighting back. But interesting start to the Mountain West. Air Force got pounded by
San Jose State.
San Jose State, of all teams.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Air Force doesn't. And that's a
Mountain West title contender, yep, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So that's an interesting one. We'll see how things transpire from here.
I know you don't give a crap about Colorado football. You don't give a crap about the Buffs. But I found this to be kind of funny, that because I do care, that Mel Tucker in his Michigan State debut loses to Rutgers. Yeah. There just seems, if you're a Buffs fan, just a delicious sense of irony in that.
There's some satisfaction there.
Yeah,
that
happened, that Mel Tucker lost to Rutgers of all. Greg Schiano's back, baby. He's back in New Jersey.
Is that a testament to, you know, Greg Schiano and Rutgers and, you know, basically the loss of Mike D'Antonio? Is it D'Antonio or D'Antoni? I always screw that one up.
I think it's D'Antonio,
right? Okay. He had obviously built a solid program for a long time. And so now he exits and in comes Tucker. So there's this big change. Who knows how big of a change it was? I don't know. I guess my question is, Are you excited about that as a Buffs fan? Because let's be honest,
there's not much else.
Sure, the Buffs are. What else are you going to get excited about?
Because if they win one or two games, it's going to be shocking this year. It's going to be absolutely shocking.
If they play one or two games, that's probably
a good point. Yeah, good place to start. If they play more than two games, with the way things are right now, would be a bit of a surprise.
Did feel good though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It felt good. I'm like, wait a minute. They lost to Rutgers? Wow. Yeah. Rutgers hadn't won a Big Ten game in like 3 years.
Sometimes it's hard to be petty, but every now and then it's really easy to be petty. And that was one of those times.
a little Schadenfreude is always nice. It's always delicious. All right. Your Dodgers on the cusp of their first World Series title since 1988. When I remember sitting in the living room in our condo across from old Bookliff Middle School, watching
everybody remembers.
Yeah, Kirk Gibson.
Great.
Coming up to the plate, limping up to the plate, the taillights in the parking lot at Chavez Ravine, that the Dodgers are on the cusp of winning the first World Series since 88. game six, we're doing this on a Monday, game six coming up tomorrow night. I guess just let's go back to the game last night. Did you like the decision Dave Roberts made on Clayton Kershaw? Justin Turner lobbied to keep Kershaw in. It seemed like he was kind of doing this somewhat out of respect to the Kershaw legacy. Let's get him out now, okay, where he has a chance to go out and get the win in this game. There seemed to be a sense of that because there has been a level of bad luck for Clayton Kershaw in the postseason. But I guess just your thoughts to they won the game, right? So he obviously made the right decision because they won the game.
It worked out. I bet 95% of Dodger fans were just spitting their teeth out because they were so mad, because I was angry. I'm going to be honest. I was angry. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're going to walk out after two pitches and two outs and take this guy out who's loaded you on his back here. Didn't have his best stuff on the evening, but quite frankly was getting better after the whole first and third incident and stealing of home and all that stuff.
Oh, which was a great heads up
through that.
Great heads up play by Clayton Kershaw.
Once he got through that, you kind of felt like, as a Dodger fan, like, all right, man, let's just ride him as far as you can take him and go ahead, give him a base runner. That's okay. You had a 2-run lead. If your plans were to take him out after so many batters, that's great. That's what they said going in. But when you walk out and get two pitches, two outs, it's hard to pull that trigger to take him out, right? Like, it feels like you should let him try and finish that inning at the very least. But it worked out for Dodgers fans. I hated it. I thought it was awful. I loved the fact that there was a little conversation on the mound. It wasn't a happy conversation. They were trying to get him to stay in the game. He wanted to stay in the game. I don't think he was happy about it, but I also love the fact that he was respectful about the whole deal. That was the plan. I'm going to say my piece, and then you're going to make your decision as a manager, and I'm going to be fine with it, and I'm going to trust it, and we're going to win this as a team. And so that's what happened, which was nice. Dustin May threw the best that he's thrown in the postseason, if you ask me.
Which I kind of added to the whole thing, because you're going, oh, God, Dustin May, no. Because you don't know what you're going to get with him, and you actually got really strong performance last night.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially for that one batter to finish the inning, he was absolutely nasty, unhittable. So that was the good move, obviously, that it turned out to be was fantastic. And then putting in Trinan to close the game, which I thought was interesting. I didn't question it, but I thought it was an interesting move because they've seen Trinan quite a bit, in these first four or five games. So I thought that was an interesting move to go with him, but he obviously proved that he was up for it, and he was filthy as well. So, in the end, what was amazing about that game to me was the fact that the Dodgers instantly in the first inning came out, scored a couple runs, and moved on from the absolute pandemonium disaster that was game four. And that was the craziest game I've seen in a long time and the weirdest finish. And you could understand if the Dodgers would have come out and just been flat after that disaster. But to have them come out and score two runs, I was like, oh boy, this team, they, like we've said before, they seem to have a business-like mentality about them this year that is giving teams fits to deal with, because man, that was gutsy to come out and do that right away.
When you look at the Dodgers bullpen, because now are we looking at back-to-back games where that bullpen gets leaned on a little bit more? They've had Clayton Kershaw, who's got two wins in this series, Walker Buehler, who's, pitched twice, and he's been great. The bullpen right now, ERA for the Dodgers is 5.57. At some point, you would think, and we're getting down here to the nitty-gritty, game six, maybe a game seven possibly, where does Dave Roberts have that kind of confidence tomorrow night if he's in that same position?
Yeah, I think you got to assume your guys are going to raise their game, not lower it, right?
Right.
And up until last night, they've just been okay, that bullpen. Pedro Baez had a really rough night in game four there. That was unlike him to give up the hanging changeups that got hit out of the yard. And guys like Dustin May have not performed to the level that they were hoping for and things like that. So Kenley Jansen, obviously he can't finish a game anymore. He just can't do it. I don't, you know, unless you have a 4 or 5 run lead, I don't think you can put him out there in that situation anymore. So you have this kind of empty space. And I think that's the panic for Dodgers fans is like, okay, so who is going to finish the game?
Right.
Cause you feel like you can get through, you know, those middle portions. You feel like you can use guys like Urias, like Gonzalez, like Trinan, like Floro. They have arms. They have all sorts of people, but who's going to get those last three? And that's the biggest problem for Dodger fans is those last three used to be automatic. You just had to get to them. And now it's the reverse of what it was back in, you know, the 2012, 13, 14, 15 years when Kenley Jansen was just unstoppable. You just had to get to those last three and it was over. Now you don't really have a problem getting to those last three. It's the problem of finishing those last three. So I think that's the biggest question for them is who will they go with when it comes down to those last three outs? Will it be a combo of righties and lefties? Will it be Blake Trinan, who does have good closing experience, but just hasn't had that role a whole lot lately? He certainly looked good last night doing it. So that's the biggest thing for me with the Dodgers is I trust them to make it to that last inning. I really do. It's that ever, you know, the three hardest outs to get are always the 25, 26, and 27. They never fail to be really difficult to pick up those outs. And that's where I think they got to look and come up with a solid plan so they can tell guys here, all right, for the last two games, here's our plan. You're our guy. Go do this. Or you're our guys. Go do this. And we'll get it to you. And that's the biggest thing. So, you know, the bullpens have been, in my mind, both bullpens are, they haven't performed quite to the level that you hoped, but that's also a reflection of how many times you're seeing guys, you know, when you're in 7-game series, that doesn't happen in the regular season. You see a team for 3 times and they're gone and then you get them later. So now we're working our way through 3-4 appearances for some of these guys. And it's hard, to get major league hitters out when they've seen you 3, 4, 5 days in a row. That's what was impressive about Trinan last night. And that's what's been impressive about a couple of the arms in Tampa Bay's bullpen as well. But even they have gotten knocked around a little bit compared to their standards going into this series.
All right, so Game 6, Blake Snell, who had the appearance, went 4 2/3. He had 9 strikeouts, and then the wheels kind of came off the wagon for him earlier in the series. Tony Gonsolin, the crazy cat dude, loves kitty cats, which is just strange that a grown man will love cats the way that guy loves cats. But you know, in his postseason hasn't been great, particularly in this World Series. Interesting matchup between those two guys in Game 6.
Yeah. Well, Blake Snell was untouchable for twice through the order. Absolutely untouchable. And then once they got the third time through there, and this is what we talked about going into it, is that Dodgers lineup just does not stop. It just, they've found ways to put traffic on and to put pressure on and all this stuff. So on paper, this looks like Blake Snell in a wash, right? Like he should be able to out-duel Tony Gonsolin. And I don't think that's really the question mark. The question mark is, can you get to the 5th or 6th inning if you're the Dodgers and be within a run or have the lead?
Right.
Within 2 runs, basically, or have the lead. If that's the case, then you're in good shape. I do believe Tony Gonsolin has it in him to shut down a lineup for a while. I think the part of the problem in my eyes with Gonsolin and May has been they've been getting faked out a little bit. Like, hey, you're starting this game, but not really. You're opening this game, right? This was
like what Tampa Bay did. They have an opener.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And that kind of actually all got started with Sergio Romo with Tampa Bay a couple of years ago. But anyway, I think that those guys need to know what their role is. So last night, I think Dustin May knew going in, sweet, I'm going to come in after 5 innings or so of Clayton Kershaw work and I'm going to have to be awesome. And he was. And so there wasn't a mystery of, oh God, are they coming to get me after this hitter? If I give up one hit, am I coming out? Is, you know, and that's where Gonsolin's been here for the last couple weeks is, hey, we're going to start you and we'll just see how it goes. And then one thing goes wrong and he's out. They're moving to the bullpen because they're trying to keep the game close. So if they can trust him, I think he can actually turn in a pretty good performance and get you to that 5th, 6th inning. whether he's ahead by one or two or down by one or two doesn't really matter. You just want to get to that middle portion of the game and have it in reach and let your offense do what they do after that. So, you know, on paper, it looks like Blake Snell should win that game, but Blake Snell is not used to going much more than five innings. So that's where the Dodgers can hurt you, is when they start getting through that lineup three or four times.
Okay. Wrap it up here. Let's say Dodgers win tonight or win tomorrow night, or they win game seven. You, Curtis Biedelman, Curtis Jehoshaphat Biedelman, lifelong Dodger fan, running probably down the streets of Severance with your Dodger hat on, just a jock strap, nothing else. Placer called. It's an international incident. But if that happens, who is the MVP for the Dodgers? Do they just have to automatically give it to Clayton Kershaw?
Well, he's up there, right? First of all, people are going to think my middle name's Jehoshaphat now, but
I think you should take that on personally. I really
maybe,
do.
Yeah, maybe I should. I think that's an easy one, right? I mean, the guy, he's got two wins in the World Series, but is he the reason they've won this World Series if they win it? I don't know. That's hard to say. Maybe he is. I mean, if Walker Buehler deals like he did the other night again, if he gets the chance, right? Hopefully he doesn't get the chance to pitch. That would be fantastic. But I mean,
Corey Seager's hitting .471. Max Muncy leads them in RBIs.
Yeah.
You know, there's some offensive guys you certainly can't fall asleep on.
If Seager continues to do what he's done, it's Seager in my mind. Just because, I mean, he's been absolutely devastating to the pitching staff of the Rays, because he's done it in a multitude of ways in different counts. It's not like they've made mistakes and he hit one out. They've made great pitches and he's found a way to get RBIs, and they've made terrible pitches and they don't get them back. They leave the yard. He's made fantastic plays at shortstop. He's just been so solid. He's great on the bases. He's just been an overall fantastic player. So if he continues down that path, I think you got to lean towards him. What's amazing, though, is that after all of this, there isn't really one player on the Dodgers that you're looking at going, yeah, that's the reason they're going to win this. You know, that might still happen here in the next two games. There might be one guy that steps up and you're like, wow, yep, he's the reason they won. And like I said, it could be Walker Buehler when it's all said and done, if he goes out and throws like he did the other night. But again, it's that depth that is killing teams with the Dodgers. I mean, they have 10 guys with multiple RBIs in this series.
It's just insane.
And they took out their leading home run hitter. They took him out of the lineup. AJ Pollock has only played two games, and he's the only one that's a regular that hasn't had multiple RBIs in this series. That is, to me, your MVP right there. This team is just deep, and just good from the standpoint of putting pressure on them. But, man, if I'm sprinting down the street cheering, it's probably because Clayton Kershaw's the MVP and all things are right with the world again, right?
Sure. I like Clayton Kershaw. I'm no Dodger fan, but I do like Clayton Kershaw. I think it would be kind of cool if that does happen. And that's me saying that as a Rockies fan. I do respect Clayton Kershaw and the kind of guy that he is.
He's worthy of it right now, right?
Sure.
Like, his first outing was amazing. 10 strikeouts, I think, in his first outing. Second outing, he puts himself on the top of the list for all-time strikeouts in the postseason and guts out a huge win after a devastating loss the day before. So, I mean, he's certainly on the list with Seager. And I guess throw Muncy in there too. I mean, the guy's got like six RBIs in this series. So I think it's those three right now. But, man, what a luxury to have if you're the Dodgers, right?
Well, because we're friends, I wish the Dodgers best of luck for you. Otherwise, I can't root for the Dodgers. I can't. I can root for Kershaw, right? I can root for Kershaw because I like that guy.
What's wrong with rooting for the Dodgers? Have they ever done to you?
They're the awful, terrible, evil empire. in the National League West.
They're the reason that the Rockies have not had success. That's right.
No, the Rockies are the reason. They played a role in it, but the Rockies are the reason the Rockies don't have success.
Let's be honest, though. Maybe the most iconic moment in recent Rockies history was against the Dodgers when Todd Helton hit that bomb.
Oh, sure. I know.
In 2007, and you thought, oh my gosh, they finally exercised the demons, right?
For a while. Yeah. Just a little while. All right, Beal. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. And good luck, buddy. Good luck.
That was hard to say. I can tell.
Shots. I think I pulled something doing that.